So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, and dear parishioners, I was trying to convey something to the senior class in their philosophy class that I teach them. They're enjoying their senior trip, or they've been enjoying it this week. So this was last week when I told them, and I asked them a question. So why is it that you don't stay in school year after year after year after year? Kind of a really obvious question, but I just wanted to make a point. And so they gave me the the first answers that came to mind. Well, burnout, we can't just, stay in school for 20, 30, 40 years. Obviously, we have to go on to higher education, some of them said. Some also said, well, we have to do our work. We have to go to our jobs to support ourselves. And they said, here's what I wanted to point out to you. And they seemed to get the point very well. I told them, the reason you have to leave school at some point is that school is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. In other words, we don't go to school just for the sake of going to school and keep going years and years. No matter how great the experience, no matter how beneficial it is, they have to move on. Because again, school is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. It was a preparation for their vocation, whatever it may be, priesthood, religious life, married life, single life. And I would like to now, in a sense, ask this question in a wider sense of the word. And I think this is very well emphasized by the Feast of the Ascension. Why is it that we don't live here for many years, for many centuries here on earth? Because life itself is not an end. Life itself is a means to an end. You might call this the great dividing line between those who believe in eternity and prepare for eternity, use this life as a means to prepare for eternity, and those who sadly try to make this life an end in itself. There's the great difference between those who live supernaturally and those who just live naturally. And what a tragedy. It's an ultimate tragedy to try to make this life all about this life. We are pilgrims on a journey. And hence, and I could see this, especially in the last 2 years, as society as a whole dealt with COVID, and you can see those who live for this life, how they are so terrified of dying, because that's the end of everything for them. They don't believe in eternity, or they have a very dim sort of knowledge or belief in eternity. And so that's why they're so afraid to die. Because that's the end. But those who have faith, those who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, they're not terrified of death. Because again, this life is only a means. It's not an end. And they know how every day is a gift from God to help them prepare better for eternity, to strive for their heavenly crown, to strive to become that saint that God wants of them. And this thought of eternity is what puts everything into the right perspective. So death is not the ultimate tragedy. As sad as the circumstances may be, unexpected, horrible. Again, death is the passage to eternity. And if we have lived the kind of life that God wants us to, we will be going, after however much time we have to spend in purgatory, to our eternal destiny. So again, putting things into perspective, and this is what the Feast of the Ascension does for us today. It reminds us about heaven. And all sufferings, all difficulties, all challenges, all crosses, it makes it worth it. Because again, all of those properly born, properly dealt with, added to our eternal reward, meant more jewels in the heavenly crown. As we know, our Lord died on Good Friday, and of course he rose from the dead. So he's going in heaven in triumph today. And, you know, there have been in history some amazing parades through city streets. I think the largest one of all time was the day after, or the day that Japan finally agreed to surrender at the end of World War II, and there were millions upon millions of people in the streets. It was estimated that there was almost 5,500 tons of confetti that had to be cleaned up later from the city streets. But that doesn't begin to compare with our Lord's triumphant entry into heaven. Remember, Jesus went to receive his reward for what he accomplished in his human nature. He's already God, but he was obedient to the Father's will in his human nature, and so he deserves the greatest reward of anyone, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. I was thinking of the Paschal candle, now extinguished. It was so dramatically blessed and lit for the Easter Vigil. Those of you that were there, remember how it's brought into the church. There's not a single speck of light anywhere except from the Easter candle. And then all of our candles are lit from that. Very ceremonious, because it's such a profound symbol of our Lord. The five wounds are designated there. And we also ceremoniously, only in the principal mass of Ascension Thursday is the candle extinguished. So the Paschal candle has always been a very honored, revered, and favorite sacramental of Catholics, and it's of course liturgical. I was reading something interesting, by the way, just about the history of the Paschal candle. But in Catholic Europe and centuries ago, some of these candles were enormous in height. And it mentions even here, this reference I have here, that the Easter candle in the Cathedral of Durham, England, was 88 feet tall. So you can imagine what a large stand it had to have to begin with. And of course, the walls in the cathedrals really soar high up, so it would not look out of place. I would feel a little bad for the altar boy that had to go light it. I'm not sure what the mechanism was for that. They actually may have had to light it from the clerestory, so it was close enough to, you know, a staircase on the side. So, and then afterwards, so this would happen on after Ascension Thursday, that candle would be melted down into smaller candles and distributed to the poor. So it was a beautiful work of charity to provide, you know, candles were the main source of illumination throughout history. So the candle will be removed after this Mass. The statue of the risen Christ will be put away till next year. Our Lord has gone to his reward, and he awaits us. He said to the apostles, I go to prepare a place for you. So paradiso, that's what we keep our eyes on today. And we prepare for that day, whenever it may come, that God will call us home. It really is being called home. Yes, there will be the human sorrow and suffering, and for our loved ones. But it's all part of the plan. How blessed we are to have faith, to not fall into that tragedy, to try to make this life the end in itself. And those that do, they will lose eternity in heaven. As our Lord says, if you save your life, you will lose it. You have to lose your life, meaning we have to give it up according to God's will so that we may have eternal life. That's what the gospel is all about, eternal life. That's the good news of the gospel, that we do not have to end up in an eternity of torment and loss, but our Lord gave us all the means, and he awaits us in heaven. The apostles weren't prepared yet to go out and do their preaching, to do their public work. They were still timid, afraid. And to some extent, they were not understanding it. As we read in today's epistle, right before our Lord ascends into heaven, Lord, are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this it? The great triumph in a temporal sort of temporal political way? No, they still didn't quite get it. And that's why our Lord told them to go pray the Pentecost Novena, to await the Holy Ghost, and for 9 days. This is why the Pentecost Novena is so solemn, so special, and commanded by the church that we all observe it every year. And then when the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles in that special way, then it all completely came into complete and sharp focus. The Holy Ghost gave them that super increase in his seven gifts. That's why we call Pentecost the birthday of the church. So let us be like the apostles. Let us look upon these as 9 special days of prayer. We have the Pentecost Novena available for you to take home also. We'll pray it after Mass daily. And let us remember that the scriptures tell us that the apostles were there with Mary. Be with Mary also. I forget which pope said it. He says, she, by her prayers, helped bring down the Holy Ghost even sooner. Through her holiness, she brought down even the Savior of the world before that. So rejoice in this day. We rejoice in our Lord's victory, his reward, his sitting at the right hand of the Father. And thus unremittingly pray and strive to reach our place that he himself has told us that he went before us to prepare it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.